Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Pete, great to meet you, by the way. Thank you so much for coming on. Tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living.
Good to meet you. I'm calling in from Finland. It's a small country in Europe. And my name is Pete or Petteri Pusilowski. I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years. And I originally started as an e-com brand owner. And we had a video game e-com store back in 2010, I think. And that was good experience, I'd say that, but it didn't go too well in the end. But from that, we took a lot of good lessons and started another e-commerce store that's female fashion related, and we've been doing that for 12 years now.
Oh, awesome. So what's the name of that brand, and can you tell us a little bit more specifics about you know, how you pivoted from, you know, doing an e-commerce store through, I think you said it was an e-commerce store through like a video game channel? That sounds really cool. But how did you kind of pivot from that to getting into like the apparel fashion space?
Yeah, well, it was a joint decision between me and my wife, who came up with the idea of trying it with female fashion, because she has a lot of experience in that regard. And the video game industry was close to my heart back then, but the margins in that space super low. If you don't have the volume, you can't compete. And to have volume, you need millions of euros or dollars or whatever. So it's not suitable for a small business owner, I think. But with fashion, you can source different types of clothing, for example, and that helps with the margins, because the products are different to the other stores online, since it's so diverse, the landscape of fashion.
Right. And you can kind of get away with working with maybe a more of a niche or a kind of smaller community selling something in women's fashion, rather than, you know, something like what you were doing before, which kind of requires like a very large following and a lot of volume. Right. So,
yeah,
that's amazing. So when did you actually start the women's fashion brand? How long ago was that now?
It was in 2012.
2012.
So, yeah, a little bit over 12 years ago.
Very cool. And so when you started that company, I mean, were you trying to keep it still like kind of in the e-commerce lane? Were you looking to do more like wholesale retail kind of business with the fashion brand? Or, and then also, like, how did you get started selling the women's fashion brand? And I guess kind of just walk me up to also in 2024 here, are you still selling mostly online, or are you doing any kind of retail or private labeling or anything like that now?
It's been e-commerce only from the beginning.
Oh, cool.
And we think it's so flexible not having a retail place, because if you have a bad month and you have a retail, you risk closing business. So
yep,
it's not a good look, I think. And with this e-commerce business, we're able to travel as well, so we're not as tied to one place as with the retail.
Yeah, and speaking place, of that, yeah. What is kind of your target market as far as like demographic, I guess, between kind of like, you know, age groups are you looking at as far as like, the fashion brand goes? And what is your biggest market? Is it actually in Finland, or are you selling in the UK or the US? Where's your biggest market for this fashion brand?
Currently, we're doing Finland only, let's say that. We do offer deliveries, but we don't do any marketing outside of Finland. So that's 99% Finland only.
Very cool.
But we do have plans for expansion, but it's not easy, let's say that, because the competition is still tough, even though it's a little bit easier than the video game business was.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I mean, obviously, when you know, think about the US and like the UK markets, I mean, it's like obviously one of the most oversaturated markets is in fashion and clothing and apparel and even like shoes, right? Yeah. So what do you kind of find, I suppose? I mean, I'm sure, obviously, you've thought about it. I'm sure you've looked into, you know, what it would take to sell in other markets, what would be kind of like required. What do you find a little bit differently in, you know, selling into like Finland market for apparel, maybe rather than, you know, something like the UK or Canada or the US?
Yeah, well, the Finland market, obviously, it's much easier in terms of logistics, but because we can offer free exchanges. But for a small brand, with your low volumes, if you go global, the return shipments are going to be quite expensive, because you don't have any like power with the logistic companies all over the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what kind of like customer profile do you typically find are like your most popular customers? Is there like a specific age range you found, or is it like Did you sell specifically to, you know, like mothers or people with certain like professions, or what is kind of the target demographic for, you know, the fashion brand that you have?
Well, when we started, we were 20 something. So the demographic was a little bit younger back in 2012. But as we've grown, I think our brand has already become a bit more mature. I think we're targeting like 30 to 40 year old women, basically.
Okay. And so you kind of, your customer base has kind of grown up with you in a sense where like you're always targeting people kind of around your age because you have like kind of those similar experiences, right? That makes sense. Yeah, that's very cool. And so I suppose when you think about just selling online, obviously it's a little bit different than, you know, selling through wholesale or retail. What kind of channels do you try to take advantage of to, you know, drive traffic to your e-commerce website to, you know, convert into sales? Are you doing any kind of paid advertising? Is it more like kind of social media based? What's your general kind of strategy with the online advertising side of things?
From the beginning, we've been focusing on SEO. That's actually one of the reasons why I'm moving a little bit towards doing more SEO for other businesses as well. And we've also done pretty hard on the influencers on Instagram and TikTok. But our paid advertising is quite minimal at the moment. We've done some, but there's been some drawbacks with that. For example, it's been known to increase the return percentage of the ordered product in our case, at least. So it's not worth it, in my opinion, in many cases.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It definitely makes sense. It's something like apparel. Yeah. I mean, that's why like most like, you know, the big apparel brands of the world, like the Nikes and stuff like that. I mean, all of their PR is around, you know, working with celebrities and athletes and things. So apparel is very kind of community driven. And you know, you want to try something because you saw somebody else wearing something. You thought like, you know, that would look good on me too. Or like somebody that you look up to is like, you know, supporting this brand. So I think there is a big like kind of community building aspect when it comes to, you know, selling apparel and in the fashion space. So that definitely makes sense that most of your, you know, success is coming from the influencer relationships for sure. And then, so I guess, is there any particular like, you know, type of strategy on social media that always works best for you? I know you do a lot with influencers. Have you had any success with like, you know, doing any boosted posts, or have you tried something like TikTok shop or anything, for example?
Unfortunately, TikTok shop is not available in Finland.
I see. Okay.
So we have not tried that, but I find it really interesting. I would like to try, but not yet.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Obviously, you know, it's been a big thing. And obviously in China, the parent corporation of TikTok is, and in the US, it's kind of like how TikTok is more generally, which is things seem to blow up quickly and you have like a really like short, like sprint with like your popularity and like your relevance. And then it kind of like tapers off. So people, I feel like, go on TikTok shop, they make a bunch of money, and then it kind of like slows down and they get out and go back to doing the more traditional channels. So it's been really interesting talking to people that do TikTok shop, but no, that definitely makes sense. And as far as the other side of what you're doing with, you know, the SEO, I don't know if you call it like an agency or SEO kind of consulting, but what kind of made you want to go down that route? I mean, obviously you've had a lot of experience optimizing through SEO with, you know, your own businesses. So that makes sense. You obviously have a lot of experience there, but what did you kind of find, I suppose, along the way that maybe some people were missing when thinking about SEO, or, you know, something you're trying to bring to other businesses that maybe, you know, they wouldn't be able to do themselves or through anybody else?
Yeah, I think small businesses, e-commerce owners, they ignore SEO completely because I don't know the reason, but I think it's something to do with the knowledge, like the timeline of SEO, because there's no clear timeline. So people tend to move towards paid ads because the effect is immediate with those methods. I think my experience is that last summer I was thinking about what should I do next with my business, because I wasn't doing much of work with the fashion brand because there's my wife who does a lot of the influencer stuff and the buying stuff. So I didn't have too much to do during the summer. So I decided to try my hand a little bit on the web design thing, but that wasn't my thing because I'm more of a technical type person. So that's what made me gravitate towards SEO early this year.
Yeah, that's interesting. And yeah, I think SEO, I feel like for a lot of people can be kind of like a black box where like you're not even sure really where to start with, you know, optimizing for, you know, things like Google or even like Amazon, you know, SEO is a whole different animal, right? So yeah, I think people can just, and like you said, I think it makes sense. I think on a lot of people's minds, it's, you know, running things that can like enhance your SEO can help in the long term, obviously, but it can take a long time and it's not always 100% clear like how something that you do is going to affect that. Whereas like, you know, something like paid advertising.
Well, never clear.
Never clear, right? Exactly. So, but with paid ads, you're right. It's like, you know, you put in a certain amount of money. Like if you get your money back, I mean, great. I mean, hopefully you don't lose money on your paid ads, but even if you make a little something back, at least there's like that direct input and output. I feel like it's a little simpler for people, which makes sense. So what would be your kind of message to, you know, people in thinking about, you know, SEO? I mean, can you shed some kind of light or like clarity on some things? So maybe, you know, people don't know about it, or you know, how people can maybe take steps to, you know, think about it in maybe a simpler way.
Yeah, well, most of the people who I've talked to have looked into on-page SEO. So things that happen on your website, like titles and headers. But most of the people, e-commerce founders, are completely ignoring the off-page SEO. So I think they should focus a little bit more on off-page, meaning building backlinks on relevant websites, and you can start that yourself, but a bit time consuming. So there are agencies who only focus on backlink building, but I offer a bit more comprehensive SEO setup. So I do basically everything related to e-commerce SEO, but one option would be to try with a couple of backlinks, like real high quality, and see how it affects your search rankings and your traffic. Rankings don't matter too much, but the traffic obviously does.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I think it's good advice. I mean, you know, for anybody listening, we have a lot of other entrepreneurs and founders and of e-commerce brands that listen, and just to kind of get a start to thinking about your SEO. So at least maybe you do something on your own before maybe outsourcing to an agency or, you know, getting some external help in that. It's a good point, and it's something we know that, you know, we try to help with. I know the founders that we have on, even like posting the podcast on YouTube can help with your SEO, and, you know, having those posts on, you know, we share it on our LinkedIn, on our Twitter, on all of our platforms, and like other people do as well. So, you know, it's just basically, you know, just volume of repetitions on different platforms always helps. And yeah, so that's good advice. I think it's really valuable. It's not something I really get to talk about on the podcast that much. So I'm glad to be able to kind of, you know, have that conversation a little more with you, and hopefully a little bit more going forward. So I appreciate that. And I guess one question I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast is, in thinking about your, we'll just take the fashion brand for the sake of the example. Yeah. If you could go back to, you know, starting that brand again, like obviously you've been doing it for a long time, you learned a lot along the way, obviously. You know, if you could go back and give yourself a piece of advice, if you were to start that brand again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
Go international.
figure out the international sooner.
Yeah, that makes sense. From the get-go, I think, because it gets harder every year that you postpone it.
That makes sense. Yeah. So what kind of steps do you think you would have been able to take maybe earlier on if you thought about it then to do that? Just kind of find like places for inventory in other countries, or you just kind of figure out more like the logistical side, shipping from Finland or wherever your manufacturer is?
Yeah, I think we would have started from the same base operations in Finland, but the mindset would have been different, and the content, because all the content is in Finnish. So it's pretty time consuming to start over English. So that would have been a great help if we had started in English straight from the get-go. Also, the backlink would have been more relevant if we had started in English. So now we have all these Finnish sites with backlinks. So it's harder to go international for that reason as well.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I'm looking to have more like international guests on the podcast. Well, you know, naturally, we have a lot of US-based folks, a lot of Canadian-based folks. And we actually had a lot of awesome Indian brands on the podcast recently as well, which has been very cool. But I think there's some like, you know, more, you know, international markets or, you know, smaller markets like in Finland or maybe some other places. I think it's a good piece of advice for, you know, like just to think about in the beginning, even if you're going to start local, like whether you're in Finland or whether you're in Ireland or wherever it might be. I think it's important to start local, but, you know, just kind of have that perspective of, you know, if you were to go international, like what that would take, and maybe take some steps to make sure that that's kind of set up on the front end too.
Yeah.
Right? Awesome.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier if you start in the UK because you're speaking the language of millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you're starting in a small country like Finland with only 5 million people, your market is quite capped in that sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. It's good advice. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, and in the beginning of my SEO agency or consultancy, whatever you want to call it, it's currently just me, so it's not much of an agency yet. But I was targeting Finnish businesses, but like 2 months ago or a little bit less, I decided to go international with my personal brand because I think I've learned from my earlier mistakes a little bit of staying local for too long.
Yeah, to take your own advice, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's awesome. So you're going international. Have you taken on any clients from the UK or anywhere as of yet? Or
yeah, I've just started with a UK client last week, actually.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, I love that. And congrats on that, by the way. I know you're just getting started out and it's just you. Thank you. You know, every client is a good client, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, not every client, but most of them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I'd rather work like my minded people than just get everyone in who I think I will not be able to do good work with. So
yeah,
it matters a little bit the quality of the client as well.
No, it does. And it's very yeah. true. And it's a good point, whether you're, you know, running an agency or doing a service-based business. I mean, the clients that you take on, or whether you're selling CPG or apparel, working with maybe wholesalers or other retailers, I mean, those relationships matter too, because, you know, you get into that hoping for a long-term relationship. And if it's not a good personal relationship, it might blow up and it's like going to end up costing you money rather than making you money. So
yeah.
I think it's a good perspective for no matter what business you're in or what the service you're selling or product you're selling, those relationships are really important. It's important to be diligent about that. Yeah.
And with SEO, the long-term relationships are really, really good, because that's the best thing for the clients as well, because obviously the results take a little bit longer than most other marketing methods.
Right. No, that's awesome, man. P, I just want to say thank you again, man, for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I just want to give you an opportunity to, between the two brands we talked about, between the fashion brand and your consultancy or agency as well, just feel free to, you know, plug your website, let people know how to stay in touch with you guys on both of those fronts, between the fashion brand and your consultant agency.
Yeah, I'm on X, Pete, the SEO wizard, and my agency's website is searchengineresearch.io.
Awesome.
And I'm open to taking a few more clients before I have to start hiring people. So I have some positions open for good clients. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And my fashion store is called herfrickrick.fi, but that's only the Finnish site at the moment.
Cool. Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, we'll get the podcast link out to you. You can post it on yours and your Finnish followers can see it and maybe find the link and maybe place an order or get in touch with you some way. So that's awesome. And
Pete,
I just want to say thank you again. I love what you're doing. I love your story, all the pivots that you've made, prospering as an entrepreneur, doing different things in different angles. That would make somebody successful as an entrepreneur. You have to make those pivots, you know, when your original idea doesn't. I know you said your first brand was kind of close to your heart in the video game industry, but you know, we have to make these pivots, and we still need to make a living and, you know, provide for, you know, our families and all those things. So, you know, your perseverance is admirable. I really enjoyed the conversation and just wish you the best of luck, continued success, and I look forward to staying in touch with you as well.
Thanks. You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.